Listen to some of these quotes out of our study in Proverbs and see if you can spot the common metaphor with them as well as listen to what Solomon is doing. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Also, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Also, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Did you catch the common theme? Mouth, tongue, speech. And did you pick up on what Solomon is doing? He's comparing, contrasting, right? What is he comparing and contrasting? The righteous is this, the wicked is this. The righteous does this, the wicked does this. The righteous walks in this way, the wicked walks in that way. The righteous speaks in this way, and the wicked speaks in this way. Two different things. Two different walks. And two different speeches. So I would like for us to study our topic tonight in a similar fashion. Solomon's example is the righteous and then the wicked. We'll do it reverse. We'll see the wicked and then we'll see the righteous. The wicked will examine how the wicked man, or the foolish man, interchangeably, uses his tongue, and then we'll see how the righteous man uses his tongue. So how is mankind's speech used, may I ask? Well, it's used in two ways, and only two ways. There is no third option. It's either evil or it's good. And which one of these two ways, keep in mind, will you choose to use your tongue? How are you going to use your speech? For evil or for good? Well, what is our point? Our point tonight, as we'll see, the foolish man speaks in a self-centered way that is an evil against God. But the wise man responds with God-centered truth that is honoring to God. And from this flows our study tonight, wherein we will examine two men, the fool, who speaks self-centeredness against God, and the wise, who responds with God-centered truth, honoring God. We'll be comparing, contrasting the fool's speech with the speech of the wise. So three ways the fool speaks, and three ways the wise responds. So I invite you to turn to Matthew 4. We'll be in our text tonight, our main text tonight in Matthew 4. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of Man, command that these stones become bread." But he, Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." This is our first point. Our first point is the fool speaks with a focus on earthly things. But the wise responds with words of understanding focused on heavenly things. So where is your focus? Do you speak like the fool here who's focused on temporal, earthly things? Or are your words like the wise here who focuses on eternity? Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. What the foolish tempter here says sounds pretty good, right? I mean, after all, the righteous man is fasting, which means that he's going without food. He's devoting himself to prayer, devoting himself to be in prayer with his Father in his presence. But Matthew records that he is hungry, verse 2. So, after all, 40 days and 40 nights, food sounds really good. I can barely go a few hours, maybe 24 hours, Food sounds really good. But does he eat? No. We see that he doesn't. What does the wise man respond? He responds by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, Moses is speaking to the Israelites, "He, Yahweh, humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." So why this verse? Now why this verse? Why is the wise man quoting this? Well, the righteous man is making this point. The man is to be solely satisfied in the Lord, who sustains man's life for all of his days. The Lord grants man eternal life through the work and death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so man is not to be solely satisfied in the material things of this world, which will never satisfy. We need to see and confess our foolish speech. We need to see ourselves in this foolish man, at times focused on temporal things of this world. Repent of it and return and turn to be like the wise who speaks with, like the wise man who speaks with the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the words of God stand forever, everlasting." So this wise man in Matthew, in a sense, spoke Keith and Kristen Getty's song that we sing on Sunday mornings. "Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your bread," no, "of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness." We are to be saturated, beloved. Be saturated in God's book, in his word, in truth, so that when we speak like this wise man speaking truth. Going on in Matthew 4, verse 5, "Then the devil took him up into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of Man, Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and," quoting, "on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Proverbs 27:2 says, Proverbs 26:4-5. It says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, and that he not be wise in his own eyes." This is what the righteous man is doing. He's correcting. The fool speaks in folly, twisting scripture, but Jesus, the righteous man, doesn't answer the fool according to his folly. The tempter, the fool, is quoting Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, but twists the passage, and the passage is about trusting God. He twists it out of its context, covering it, justifying himself, justifying his motive. What's his motive? He's testing God. He's putting the Lord to the test. And how does the wise respond? Jesus responds to the falseness of this fool. How does he do that? He knows and understands that the fool is testing him. He twists the passage out of the context. And so the wise man responds with correction and truth of another passage. What does he do? Deuteronomy 6:16 says, "The Lord your God, do not put him to the test." Which in that context is about the Israelites testing God. They're grumbling and complaining. They're testing God. So how are you speaking like the fool here? How am I speaking like the fool? How do we see ourselves? Are we striving to speak like the wise man instead? Are we seeking to be like him? A good example, I think, would be Philippians 4:13. We all know Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How would the fool use this verse? Twisting open a jar. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, that's not the context that Paul is going through, right? He's not twisting a jar open, struggling. No, Paul is enduring affliction. He's enduring hard times. So the wise would speak the verse when enduring difficulties, finding comfort in Christ, who provides him his strength. Continuing on, Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." The fool now here in these last few verses is doing what? He's offering the righteous man his domain. He's offering him what? Kingdoms of this world and their glory on a condition. What's the condition? If you fall down and worship me. So this fool is praising himself, is he not? He's in a sense saying, look at what I can offer you. Look at what I have. And I can give it to you. So how does the wise man respond to this? Deuteronomy 6:13 and 10:20, he quotes, saying, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." This fool who speaks with pride is an example that Apostle James writes about. And this will be our closing verse. Let's flip over there, James chapter 3. Let's see it together. James chapter 3. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If any man does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." Here's an example that James gives. Verse 3. "Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well." On top of another example, verse 4, "Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires." Like these two examples, he closes with his point, verse 5. "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest fire is set aflame by such a small fire." And in closing, we just examined two men. Who do we examine? The fool and the wise. And what did we observe about them? Well, we observed three things. The fool speaks with a focus on earthly things that are temporary. But the wise responds with words of understanding. He's focused on eternity, on heavenly things. The fool, point two, the fool speaks twisting truth according to his own thinking. But the wise responds correcting with correction and truth of God's word. And then point number three, the fool speaks out of a prideful heart, but the wise responds with a humble heart. Do you, think about this, do you tonight continue, desire to continue speaking like the fool? If so, listen to Proverbs 18:21 that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And this point is, the tongue of the fool will result in death, but the tongue of the wise will result in life. Which do you desire, beloved? Speaking folly, foolishly, or speaking wisely? Because we are the fools. We are the foolish man. Therefore, we need to repent and desire God's transformation, Him to transform our tongue in order to speak wisely. We need to repent daily. It's a daily repentance, continuing to trust in His transformational work. Dwell on these last three verses. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each other. In 1 Peter 3:10. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, he must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. As we dwell upon these last three passages, how can we apply this? How can we seek to apply it to our life? Are you seeking to use your speech, your tongue? How? Especially with your those closest to you. How are you seeking to use it with those closest to you? Your family members, your friends, co-workers, those who you work, your church family members here at church. How are you using your tongue? Edifying or tearing down? Are you desiring your tongue to use your tongue selfishly, speaking evil against God? Or, like we just examined in the fool, by which result is death? Or are we desiring to use our tongue wisely, speaking God-centered truth, just as we examined in Jesus, the righteous man? It's one or the other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for, Lord, these scriptural truths that you've walked us through. We ask, Lord, that you would go before us tonight, and may we dwell upon these truths, these passages. Lord, continue to ask ourselves, are we using our speech, our tongue for evil, for tearing people down and seeking to be like the fool in Matthew 4, being self-centered? Or Father, are we relying upon your transformational work, Lord, to be like Jesus, the righteous, wise man in Matthew 4, speaking truth, speaking with a humble heart, And Lord, focusing on eternity. I ask, Lord, for this for everyone in this room, and me especially. We thank you and we praise you. Amen.